Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. My name is Mike Murley and I host Mic Check at 5:30 p.m. every third and fifth Sunday right here on WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport. Welcome to everyone listening 89.5 FM on your radio dial. Welcome to everyone streaming live or tuning into our podcast at WPKN.org. This program was established about 10 years ago on this radio station, and I am grateful and honored to have been a part of it from the beginning and to still be part of it. It is a tremendous platform, just like this radio station itself is a tremendous platform for sharing voices, community voices, local community voices here in Bridgeport and in Connecticut, and perspectives, sharing perspectives and holding space for voices and perspectives that are not getting enough exposure and amplification. And so that's why this program was created. The phrase mic check was used to mobilize people to create a human microphone during the Occupy movement and others. This weekly program itself seeks to amplify our community's many voices and bring them to the airwaves. And we are followed at 6 p.m. right here in WPKN by another public affairs program, the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. We are about to hear a conversation I had in 2020, 4 years ago, with Marianne Suleiman, the sister of Mubarak Suleiman, who was murdered by Connecticut State Trooper Brian North in collaboration with the West Haven Police Department on January 15, 2020. Mubarak Suleiman was 19 years old. Mubarak Suleiman was a student at Gateway Community College in New Haven. Mubarak Suleiman was an athlete who loved playing basketball, an entrepreneur studying business, a teenager with a heart of gold who would literally give the shirt off of his back to help someone, and did exactly that on multiple occasions. His kindness and generosity are reflected in the many friends he had that mourn his loss. He had dreams of traveling the world. He had a family that loved him dearly. And now all of that is gone for Mubarak as of a little more than 4 years ago. In a rare instance, State Trooper Brian North was actually indicted on criminal charges for taking Mubarak's life and stood trial the past 2 weeks at the Milford Courthouse in Milford, Connecticut. However, on Friday, a jury consisting of mostly older white men rendered a not guilty verdict on all counts that white State Trooper Brian North was charged with in connection to his brutal January 2020 killing of a black teenager. Mubarak's family was forced to wait 4 years for this. 4 years. I stand here today devastated at the lack of justice in the state of Connecticut for black and brown families. I stand here today devastated that a white police officer just got away with murdering a black teenager in cold blood right here in Connecticut. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep Mubarak's family safe and grant them continued ease, patience, peace, and justice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hold Trooper Brian North accountable in this life and the next. Ameen. The police do not keep us safe. Blue lives matter. Black lives matter. Justice for Mubarak. Justice for Mubarak. Justice for Mubarak. Justice for Mubarak. Good evening. My name is Mike Murley, and welcome to WPKN's Mic Check, coming to you on WPKN every Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Welcome to everyone listening at 89.5 FM on your radio dial. Welcome to everyone streaming live or tuning in to our podcast at WPKN.org. Each week on Mic Check, one of our hosts examines global, national, and regional issues and their effect on our local community. Just as the phrase Mic Check was used to mobilize people to create a human microphone during the Occupy movement, this weekly program seeks to amplify our community's many voices and bring them to the airwaves. Mic Check is followed on WPKN at 6 p.m. by another public affairs program, the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you are staying safe wherever you are. Hopefully you're at home right now. I'm honored to be joined over the phone by Mariam Suleiman, sister of Mubarak Suleiman, a 19-year-old boy who was murdered by Connecticut State Police in West Haven on January 15th. And if you're unfamiliar with what happened, we will talk a little bit about what happened, but we're going to be focusing mainly on who Mubarak was as a person. Mariam, are you there?
I'm here.
Assalamu alaikum, Mariam.
Walaikum salam, Mike.
Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. And I know you just got back from a trip, so I'm so glad that you made it back safely as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And so I want to start off by saying I'm so sorry for your loss. My heart breaks for you and your family. I'm grateful to have been able to interview your cousin Aisha as well recently, and she spoke powerfully about what your family has been going through.
Right. Thank you.
Really quick, if I know this is really painful, but for anyone who is listening who is unfamiliar with what took place on January 15th, if you would want to give just the briefest of summaries.
Yes. So on January 15th, my younger brother Mubarak Suleiman was unjustly shot 7 times by a state trooper. And lost, his life was taken that evening. Mubarak was my young brother.
How far in age are the two of you?
We were 4 years apart. So he was 19, I'm currently 23.
What was it like growing up with Mubarak?
Mubarak was so full of life, very, very energetic child. We had a lot of amazing moments, because at that age, I mean, we were pretty close in age. He was very energetic and willing to try new things. I remember he was also like the dancer of the family when we were younger, had a lot of snazzy dance moves, just so full of light and always smiling, always laughing.
Are there any specific childhood stories or memories that are coming to you right now?
Yeah, I remember YouTube was just was excelling around that time when we were younger, and him and I had enjoyed watching parodies together, like funny videos, and we came up with the idea to create like a YouTube channel for him where he would just showcase his dancing and partake in like the parodies. And I remember finding so much enjoyment doing that, just laughing at him and his enthusiasm.
I can picture what you're saying as you're describing it, like the dance moves and everything.
Yeah. A lot of energy.
Did you and Mubarak remain just as close as you got older?
I would say as we got older, our paths change essentially. I was hard in my studies in high school, and he was just entering high school. And then I went off to college, and our relationship did get a bit strained. However, he knew I was there for him as much as I knew that he was there for me. And he knew that he could seek my counsel whenever the situation presented. However, because we were experiencing different, like we were going about our paths in life very differently, it did cause a slight strain on our relationship.
And Mubarak went to high school at Notre Dame in Fairfield, correct?
Yes.
That's one thing, actually, that I remember Aisha saying when we were speaking. Was all the friends that he had in high school at Notre Dame?
Definitely. He had friends from all walks of life. He was very personable in that regard, very kind.
And in high school, is that when Mubarak got into sports for the first time?
He had definitely been playing since he was younger, but yeah, he took on a more serious role in sports in high school. And he excelled at all of them. He loved basketball, but he decided to also try lacrosse and football and gave his all in each and every one of those sports.
Wow, so it's clear that sports was really a big part of his life.
Definitely. He was very athletic, loved the gym. he just loved remaining fit and, you know, doing something that, you know, just gets your mind off reality, just escape it. One of his hobbies. And he was amazing at all the sports.
And those are all team sports. So I think about like the camaraderie and the teamwork.
Definitely a team player.
Did Mubarak talk to you about his classes that he had and his friendships?
We talked about his future, like goals and what he had in mind beyond high school. I know he was very passionate about pursuing business, in particular international business. And we always talked about our love for, like, you know, international travels. I mean, he had been to Ghana, to Dubai, and he always sought my counsel or just my advice about how he could, in the future, like, once he pursued his college studies, how he could also go abroad like me and familiarize himself with other countries. That's one thing we always talked about and had similar interests in travel and international studies.
Did the two of you develop that interest from your parents?
My mom definitely was someone who, you know, we looked up to in that regard. She really loves travel as well. So yes, definitely my mom, she loves experiencing different cultures and motivated us to think beyond our home and know that there is so much out there in the world.
Your parents were born in Ghana?
Yes, both my parents were born in Ghana.
Wow. And at what point did they come here to the United States?
I would say in their 20s. They migrated to the States, you know, for opportunity. And they actually met in the States.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, in New York.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just thinking about what you're saying as far as you and Mubarak sharing that love of travel and of, you know, wanting to learn about other cultures and learn about other ways of life.
Definitely. He was very curious. And just, like, he knew, like, there was so much beyond the United States. And he had a thirst for that hunger for learning beyond, you know, his hometown.
Could you talk a little bit more about Mubarak's dreams and his hopes for the future?
Well, yes, like, as I said, he wanted to pursue international business, and he had hopes to, like, to make it in life, you know. He always thought that, like, once I make it, you guys don't need to worry. And we're just like, no, Mubarak, make it for yourself, okay? Like, don't put that pressure on yourself. You don't need to take care of us. So, like I stated, he was very considerate. He cared about everyone and wanted to be everyone's hero, you know. But we always reminded him that do it for yourself, okay? Like, don't put that added pressure. I'm trying to make it for your family.
Wow, so that says a lot about him, that he was always thinking about others, thinking about his family.
Yes.
And wanting
to
do for others.
Yeah, he's like, Mom, when I make it, I got you. Like, just very, very kind and always putting other people's needs in front of his a lot of the time, too.
Wow, yeah, and very generous.
Yeah, he's sounds very like generous. Very generous with his heart. Goes beyond the tangible, just very generous with his emotions and just catering to other people's needs.
Could you share more memories that come to mind right now that really speak to that, that really speak to his kind, caring heart, his generosity, and his sense of humor, like you were saying earlier?
Oh my God, great sense of humor. Always trying to make you laugh. Some silly moves. But something that can also attest to just his kind heart is him providing shelter for friends. Just ask my mom the night of, like, can this friend please stay? They don't have someone, I mean, they don't have a somewhere to stay tonight. And that happened a couple of times, asking my mom if she could please host someone for the night, or just, like, lending his friend's money or his family money in times of crisis when they need it. Very, very open heart.
Wow. If you're just joining us, you are tuned to WPKN in Bridgeport, 89.5 FM. independent community radio broadcasting from the campus of the University of Bridgeport, serving Fairfield, New Haven, and Litchfield counties in Connecticut and Suffolk County in New York's Long Island. We stream around the world at WPKN.org, TuneIn Radio, Radio Free America, and WPKN's free app, WPKN Live. Info on WPKN Podcast is available at WPKN.org. The name of this program is Mic Check, and my name is Mike Murley, and I am joined over the phone by Mariam Suleiman, sister of Mubarak Suleiman, who is a 19-year-old boy who was murdered by Connecticut State Police in West Haven on January 15th. Mariam, thank you for what you just shared. That really speaks to who Mubarak was. And as you're sharing these stories and talking about how kind and generous he was, I mean, that's just, I don't know, I'm just really at a loss for words.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for providing me the platform to share what kind of person Mubarak was, you know, and allowing his story to live on. I really appreciate it. And so does my family.
Of course. It's, like I said earlier, you and anyone from your family are always welcome to be on this show anytime, and to hopefully next time we'll get to have you in person, here in person.
yes.
But I know you just got back from Malaysia, where you were studying on a Fulbright scholarship. So first of all, I just want to say congratulations, because that is a monumental achievement.
Thank you so much.
That's such a big deal. And so congratulations on that achievement and on your studies. And
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I wanted to ask, were you away when you first heard about what happened to Mubarak?
Yeah, I was. So difficult.
I can't imagine what you were feeling. Do you remember what you were thinking about when? Do you remember what was going through your head when you first heard that moment? When you first heard what happened?
I almost collapsed. I couldn't believe it. My younger brother, I just saw him days before. I didn't want to believe it. I wanted to be awoken from a nightmare. And once it did settle that it was a reality, I had wanted to go home. I remember wanting to go home. But I talked to a lot of family members, and they were just like, if you can, try to stick it out, you know, and we'll get you on the next flight during your break, which is the case right now. But it was really, really difficult.
And again,
not to have anyone, you know, not to be in proximity with someone who, with people who understood what I was going through, you know, and who were going through it with me.
I can't imagine how difficult that must have been to be, like you said, to be not around anyone else who understood
what you were going
through. Again, how long had you been out there at that point?
I left January 1st, so it was like 14 days.
Wow. So yeah. You had just been there for like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Wow.
Two weeks, yeah. I was not expecting that.
What were the next few days like for you and your family?
Very difficult. As you know, I'm sure you know, my mom was in Ghana, and had to abruptly come back, of course. I wasn't there while everything was playing out, but I made sure I was updated, and I was constantly calling in, or I was being called and updated as to what was going down. First, you know, as Muslims, we just wanted to obtain the body and bury him properly. But after the fact, that's when, you know, we wanted to get the word out that this was not just, you know, and definitely protest and, you know, speak on his regard.
You just mentioned the need to bury Mubarak's body as quickly as you could.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could talk more about the role your family's faith played in helping you navigate this unimaginable loss.
My religion has helped me immensely in finding peace, because we, as a Muslim, in the Islamic faith, the the way that his life was taken away, it was clearly essentially a martyr. He's a martyr, and we know that he's resting in peace because of that. And in Islam, we say, Inna ilaihi rajiun, and from God we came, to him we will return. So the religion has truly been like a guiding light and helps put my heart at ease, that my brother is like resting in peace.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And I you know, I know that in Islam, justice is huge, is very important. Is like, you can't have peace without justice, and that's I took Shahada December 27th, and so I'm very new to Islam, right. But I know that justice is very important within Islam.
Definitely.
As well.
And that's why I and my family are trying to do our all to make sure that, you know, justice is found from Mubarak.
Kind of going off from there, so there's been such a powerful movement that has risen up after Mubarak's murder on January 15th, and so were you in Malaysia when all of the rallies and vigils took place?
Yes, I was. I got videos. We have a family group chat. My friends who've attended, I got videos from all of them. And even though I wasn't there physically, I definitely felt like I was there in spirit.
What was it like for you to see the social media posts and for you to see the pictures from your friends and to know that all of this was happening?
It was difficult. It was difficult knowing that was happening and I'm not, you know, I'm on the ground, you know, and just difficult because, I mean, you hear about police brutality like every day, which is deplorable at this point, but it just, you never expect it to be your own. So I was kind of like in a haze a lot of the time. Like, this is my brother that we are, you know, fighting for justice for, you know? So a lot of shock and just realizing that it's my own, like it's my like blood that I am fighting for.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that must have been like to want to fight and to want to be part of everything that's happening. But knowing that you're witnessing it all from a distance.
Right. And just trying to do all that I can from, you know, my end.
Well, so I know that there, and for anyone listening right now that doesn't know already, there is a Justice for Mubarak Facebook page.
Yes.
And
Instagram.
Is there there's a Twitter as well, right?
Yes. That one's Justice for Mubi. So Mubi.
Do you know if there are any upcoming rallies or events planned as of right now?
Unfortunately, as of now, no, there are not any upcoming rallies, especially with this mass hysteria with COVID-19. The last thing we want to do is group a mass amount of people. However, it is in the works. We definitely want to continue protesting, you know, and spreading the word and getting his name out there. So with that being said, updates will be placed on the Instagram page, on the Facebook page, on the Twitter page.
Well, one more time, could you give the best way for our listeners and anyone listening right now to get connected with the Justice for Mubarak movement?
Updates can be found on the Instagram page, and that's Justice for Mubarak. Updates can be found on the Facebook page. That's also Justice for Mubarak, and the Twitter page, which is Justice for Mubi, and Mubi's Mubi.
Thank you, Mariam.
No problem.
So we just have a few minutes left.
Okay.
And so I just had two questions that I wanted to ask you. I can't believe how fast that flew by also, first of all.
I know, I can't believe it.
And maybe it's good that there's, you know, a few minutes left. We're not right at the end, but we've got a few minutes left. So, because I was wondering if you could talk to Mubarak right now, what would you say to him?
I would first tell him that I love him so much and there are so many, he was truly loved, is truly loved by many, and that justice will be found, will be sought out for him. And I don't know, it's for him to keep on smiling and just know that there are many people out here who care for him and who care to tell his story.
And what is one last thought that you'd like to leave our listeners with about Mubarak?
I just want them to know that Mubarak is not the Mubarak that is being depicted on the news. Don't see him as just criminal, you know. He was just kind, loving, respectful 19-year-old who had dreams and high hopes to excel. And such a family man, so personable. And he would have gone far in life if his life wasn't taken away from him.
Thank you, Mariam.
No problem.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
Well, I'd just like, again, to thank you for allowing me to share my brother's story on your platform. And again, for updates, please visit the Instagram page, Justice for Mubarak. That's especially where all the announcements will be made.
Mariam Suleiman, thank you so much for joining me tonight to share your brother Mubarak's story.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
Of course. And like I said earlier, please come back over the phone or hopefully in the studio, inshallah, at some point.
Inshallah.
My heart goes out to you and your family as you continue to navigate such a profound loss. I'm so sorry, and I want to keep doing whatever I can. And so, again, to everyone listening right now, Justice for Mubarak on Facebook, Justice for Mubarak on Instagram. On Twitter, it's Justice for Mubi, M-U-B-I. Please follow those platforms. Please stay up to date in the fight for justice for Mubarak Suleiman.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mariam. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
That was my 2020 interview with Mariam Suleiman, whose brother, Mubarak Suleiman, was brutally murdered and executed Ku Klux Klan style by Connecticut State Police in collaboration with West Haven Police on January 15th, 2020. And I'm grateful to Mariam for sharing her story and for everything that she said about Mubarak. And I also was able to be in conversation with one of Mubarak's best friends, Kira, on a separate occasion, as well as two other members of Mubarak's family named Aisha and Rakia. And I'm grateful for every one of those conversations. I'm grateful to have participated in protests from 2020 until now during the Justice for Mubarak movement, which I believe is still ongoing in terms of that movement for justice and everything that that means and in all the ways that that can manifest and be considered. There's just about a minute left until we go into the Ralph Nader Radio Hour from 6 to 7, followed by Cool Blues and Rare Records with Al Bell. Al always does a great show, so please stay tuned for that. But I just want to say really quick, I was in the courtroom during the trial of Brian North this past week, all week, and then on Friday as well. And what I can tell you is that Brian North exhibited no compassion, no sense of remorse, no sense of humanity or empathy. He's a cold-blooded killer. And what this jury decided puts him back out on the streets in our community, in our communities, in his role as a state trooper stationed at Troop G down the street from this studio in Bridgeport. And that's frightening. And that is horrifying. And that is the system that we have in this country, which was founded on racism and white supremacy. And I'm going to keep saying justice for Mubarak.